Jensen, sometimes you look at the best of the best, if you will, in a Top Gun reference here, and you see certain divisional leaders that have not necessarily feasted off the weak, but they're pretty good against some of the best out there. Who have you identified here and say, you know what? They're pretty good against some of the bigger boys here in baseball.
Yeah, it's more so a real little audit of, okay, how good are you? And again, you got to beat up on the bad teams. We all know that. That obviously helps when you're getting to playoff positioning, and the wins in April count the same they do in September. But when you get to October, we know it is the best of the best. So how do teams fare against competition with a record above 500? Well, the numbers are pretty stark here. And I just went with division leaders as we enter play today. The Rays have the best record in the American League. A couple of games above 500 against teams with records that are over that mark. Guardians and even 11-11. That's an interesting note there to factor in. Athletics have struggled against good competition, just 7-11. Now, on the flip side, the National League division leaders, really, really good. Braves 14-9, Dodgers 15-9. How about the Brewers have played 33 games already against teams with a record over 500? They're 9 games over 500 in that category. So again, just another way, Dave, to evaluate where teams are at the moment. And if you want to buy some of those future prices with them, gives you another little layer to be able to look at before you make those bets.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring it up, and I brought it up earlier in the program. I wanted to pick your brain kind of on that theme. Look, I've got tickets on the A's, 4-1 to make the postseason. Feeling pretty good about the win total here as this team's been hovering around 500, which is more than enough to get those tickets home. But when I look at this division, I know we want to go Seattle first. What about Houston all of a sudden? Now, I know that there have been rumors about maybe moving some of their guys here. Do you feel like Houston's got any staying power to make a run in the AL West if it's really that down a division?
I absolutely don't. I think that they are on borrowed time. The offense is great. This pitching staff is absolutely horrific. And they have had so many injuries too, but that notwithstanding, you are going to see some people probably calling about not only Christian Walker, but Yordan Alvarez. And again, this could be quite the haul. Not that Houston wants to do it. Dana Brown, defiant the last couple of years that they are in it. And Dave, the standings would justify, you know, where Dana Brown's psyche could be. Still way too early. But front office members do start having these conversations about what's kind of the market. What would be the acquisition cost for these certain big stars? A reminder, the Astros begin play today 7 games under 500, but only 2.5 out of a playoff spot because the American League has been so down outside of the Rays, the Yankees, and the Guardians. Those are the only teams, Dave, 3 of the 15 that are above 500. If you want to throw the Athletics in there, or excuse me, I take that back. There are 4 teams over 500, Rays, Yankees, Guardians, and White Sox, just like we all thought. And then the Athletics are a perfect 27-27, even at that mark. So it's hard for American League teams to sit there and say, okay, well, we haven't played our best baseball, but we're like a series sweep or two from being in a postseason spot. So I think that would be something to factor in if you're looking at the futures market.
So again, they are 7 games under 500. They've won 4 in a row. So they were 11 games under 500 all of a sudden. And the Astros only 3.5 out of the division lead, if you can believe this, 7 games under. So this was a team last year that I hopped in on around this time, got them at plus 550 to win the division. That was very fruitful. But again, this is not last year's team. So we'll find out, 2 years ago with the Astros. So we'll find out with Seattle running them down a year ago. So we'll see if the Astros can get back in. But if they trade away those pieces, as you mentioned, Jensen, that would not be a team you want to get invested in if they're going to deal before the deadline. You've seen some of these matchups here so far. We saw like the Mariners are pounding the A's last night. Do you see some maybe lopsided results coming in these series?
I think we could attack a couple of these games. So the headline is one-sided affair with a question mark. Like on paper, is it really one-sided? Let me start with the Braves and the Red Sox. Spencer Strider, Ranger Suarez. Now this is priced evenly. It's $1.10 each side. But I'm going to tell you right now that Ranger Suarez has been much better than what meets the eye. And if I'm looking to kind of handicap this specific head-to-head, I would tell you that I could honestly still look at Atlanta and maybe even playing the run line at plus money. They're laying a run and a half plus $1.48. I think that you take advantage, the Braves will, of Ranger Suarez. And again, seen him plenty when he was with the Phillies. That's an interesting matchup. Definitely one-sided tonight at Kauffman Stadium. Cam Schlittler going for the New York Yankees against Bailey Falter. Dave, I played not only the under nine, I also played the Yankees in the alternate run line minus one at $1.58. On the under here, the Yankees are 18-8-2 to the under as a road favorite, which they are decidedly so tonight. Kansas City also against non-divisional opponents, 18-13 to the under. And the Royals have been way under, at least five games under 500, covering the run line against just American League opponents overall. So Yankees Royals under nine tonight, and then the Yankees minus one on the alternate run line at minus $1.58.
Yeah, I'd love to push back with those Royals, but after losing the way they did yesterday too, you kind of feel like their heart got ripped out a little bit after that the go-ahead home run by Bobby Witt, and you give up two in the ninth, and now you have Cam Schlittler. That does not bode well here for Kansas City later on today. John Denver, Take Me Home, Country Roads. We used to sing it in the song in the car every time we crossed over from Virginia to West Virginia as kids. Mom's going to be excited for you to get to Morgantown. I know you're fired up for that as well, Jensen.
Going to be great. And again, Selection Monday for the men's college baseball, a road to Omaha revealed yesterday. Dave, at least at first glance, there were three regionals that really jumped out. Speaking of Morgantown, which I'll be covering beginning on Friday afternoon, that really look like a tough row to hoe. Let's start there. The number 16 seed, national seed, West Virginia. They have Wake Forest as a powerhouse out of the ACC in years past. They've got a great stable of power arms. Kentucky in the battle-tested SEC. They were one of the bubble teams that got in. And then shout out Danny Higgins' cousin, who is part of the Binghamton boys that I got to cover in Athens last year. They are the four seed there in Morgantown. Lincoln, Nebraska, the number 13 national seed, Nebraska Cornhuskers. Holy hell, Dave. Ole Miss, who was right there for an opportunity maybe to host. Arizona State out of the Big 12, which really came on at the end of the year. And then South Dakota State, don't sleep on the Jackrabbits there. An interesting four seed that could provide some resistance. And then no favors done to the North Carolina Tar Heels. This Chapel Hill Regional, the number five national seed, North Carolina's got their work cut out for them. The Vols of Tennessee will be the two seed out of the SEC. They have played much better down the stretch. East Carolina, who I know you have a ticket on, Cliff Godwin's crew, they find their way in. They create all kinds of chaos, Dave. That is a battle-tested program. And then your old alma mater, the VCU Rams, finding their way in. Not the best team, but still, they're going to probably give North Carolina a little more trouble than maybe anticipated. Three regionals that I think are pretty easy. Atlanta, the number two overall seed, Georgia Tech. I think they run roughshod over Oklahoma. The Citadel, where I just covered the SoCon conference tournament, they were the conference champions over the weekend. And then UIC rounds out that regional. Texas, the number six seed in Austin. They got a great, great draw, but they're going to have to hopefully think that UC Santa Barbara does not have their ace able to go in game two. Tarleton State, Holy Cross finished that one out. And as I told you, my chaos candidates, the Gainesville Regional, the Florida Gators, number eight seed. They will get their crosstown rival in the Miami Hurricanes there, but Troy and Ryder fill out that regional. I think they are very much in the driver's seat to have a clear path to the Super Regional round.
Yeah, my boys, they were texting in our old Virginia Beach 757 group text and saying there's a buzz in Richmond about my Rams this year. So I said, okay, I'll obviously love to see that ECU ticket make some noise here, but if it can't be ECU, I'd love to see VCU do something out of that side of the bracket here. So I'll be a watchful eye on East Carolina and my alma mater if they can make a buzz out of Richmond this year.